Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We're located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddroadgracechurch.com. Now, here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I want to read Paul's prayer for the Ephesians and what he said after that. Beginning in verse 14, he said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, those are some incredibly glorious requests that he makes. And here's our text in verse 20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Now, what I want to draw your attention to first is, "Now unto him that is able." Faith is believing his ability. If you want to know what faith is, that's what it is. It's believing his ability. And there's an inseparable connection between believing his ability and giving him all the glory. Notice in verse 21, it says, "Unto him be glory." This one who's able, unto him be glory in the church. Now, the church in chapter 2 of Ephesians is called the temple of God. The presence of God used to dwell in the tabernacle, and then after that, the temple which Solomon built. But in the New Testament, the temple of God is the people of God. All that did was represent the people of God. The people of God are the temple of God. And David said in Psalm 29:9, "In his temple doth everyone speak of his glory." Faith is believing his ability. There were two blind men that had heard the Lord preach, and somehow they groped their way into the place where he was and asked him for mercy. And he asked these men this very simple question: "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Do you believe, my dear friend, that he is able to save you? I'm not asking you if you believe that you're saved, if you believe that you are born again, or you. I'm not asking you about yourself. I'm asking you what you think concerning him. Do you believe that he is able to save you? Well, you got to know who he is in order to believe that. Paul put it this way in 2 Timothy 1:12, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day." I know whom I have believed, and everything we believe is predicated on who He is. I know whom I have believed. He's God. He's man. He's the God-man. He's incapable of failure. He's all-powerful. He's all-wise. He's the Son of God. He's God's Christ. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. I've been convinced of this. I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Now, He's talking about the day of judgment. And I'm persuaded that He is able to bring me and cause me to be justified on the day of judgment. It doesn't have anything to do with my works. It has wholly to do with me committing the entire salvation of my soul to Him. You see, all my eggs are in this basket. He does it all. When He said, "It is finished," it was finished. I love the song, "Jesus paid it all the debt I owe." Some seem to think Jesus paid a half, the other half I owe. But no, that's not the case at all. Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I have committed the entire salvation of my soul to Him. If anything's expected of me, I don't have any hope. I've committed it all to Him, and I am persuaded in His ability because of who He is. In Romans chapter 4, verse 21, it was said of Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, God had promised him that He was going to make him a father of many nations, that the Christ would come through him, the promised seed, that he would have a number of descendants, as many as the sands which are by the seashore, and the stars of heaven. And Abraham didn't have any evidence other than the naked word of God. God said it, and Abraham believed what God says. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. His faith was in God's ability to do what He said He would do. When the Lord appeared to Abraham and told him of the one who's going to come once again, He said, in a year, Sarah's going to be with child, and you're going to have this child. You know what Sarah did? She laughed. She said, she didn't believe. And the Lord said, why'd Sarah laugh? And she denied laughing right in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord asked this question, is anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is, nothing is too hard for the Lord. He is all powerful, and He's able to do whatever He says He's going to do. Now, our hope is founded on His ability to do whatever He says to do. One of the first things that came to my mind when I was thinking about this was the rich young ruler. The Lord knew that this man was eaten up with covetousness. This man was a self-righteous man. He first comes up to the Lord, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, why callest thou me good? He knew this man was coming to him as a man to another man. He didn't know who he really was. And he said, you're good. I'd like to reach your goodness. What can I do to reach that level? He said, well, keep the law. And he named the commandments. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And the man said, all these have I kept from my youth up. And he proved by that he didn't have any idea what God's law really meant. And so the Lord met him where he was coming. He knew he was a man eaten up with covetousness. And he said, go sell all you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. And the man couldn't do it. And he went away grieved. And the disciples looked at each other, and this seemed to be such an outstanding young man. And they said, who then can be saved? If this man can be saved, who then can be saved? The Lord said, with men, it's impossible. If any part of your salvation is dependent upon you doing anything, you will not be saved. With men, it's impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. He is able to save. Listen to this scripture, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. Now, that's a strong word. He is able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save me and you, if he's pleased to do it, in such a way that I'll be perfect without sin on Judgment Day. I won't even remember what it's like to be a sinner. I'll be perfectly righteous. I'll stand without fault before the very throne of God. He's able to save you that much. I think of the leper in Matthew chapter 8. This was a man, according to Luke's account, who was full of leprosy. And this leper came to the Lord and he worshiped. Now this is what is going to have to be settled first. Worship. Is the Lord worthy of worship without reference to what he does or does not do for you? Well, this leper understood who he was and he worshiped saying, Lord. He knew that Christ is the Lord. The Lord of creation, he created the universe, the Lord of providence, he's the one who controls all things, the Lord of salvation. And he demonstrates how he believed that. Lord, if you will, my salvation is totally up to your will. Can you imagine this leper coming up to the Lord of glory and saying, Lord, I will that you do this? You don't talk to the Lord that way. And this man didn't either. He didn't say, Lord, I will that you do this. The only one who can speak that way to the Father is Christ himself. This man came saying, Lord, if you will. He knew that his salvation was entirely up to Christ. Lord, if you will, you can. You have the ability to make me clean. I can't make myself clean. I can't wash myself up. I can't do anything about my sin. But if you will, you can make me clean. And the Lord said, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. In Romans 16:25, Paul said, now unto him that is able to establish you according to my gospel, to set you on the foundation. Do you believe he's able to do that? To ground you on Christ? Not only to make you clean, but to lay you down on the foundation? Acts 20:32 says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Not only does he ground you on the foundation, he's able to cause you to grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Do you believe he's able to do that? That he can make all his grace, all his free favor abound toward you? Listen to this scripture. Moreover, the law, this is Romans 5, 20 and 21, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Now, if you have any understanding of God's law, all it does is show you that you are a sinner, that you abound with sin, that it comes out of your pores, that you break every commandment. You haven't kept one commandment one time. Now, if you say, I don't see that with regard to myself, well, you've never really understood the law. You've never seen it as it really is. You've had a warped view of the law, and you've got it down to a standard that you think you're okay with, but you haven't learned what the law means yet. But listen to this scripture. Moreover, the law entered that the sin might abound. But where sin abounded, are you someplace where sin abounds? You see that that's all you do. You're guilty before God. Your motives are bad. Your actions are bad. You're just bad. You're a place where sin abounds. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death. Now this is how much of a reign sin has over that one where sin abounds. How much power do you have to stop death? Absolutely no power. That if sin hath reigned unto death, in the same manner, even so might grace reign. Now, This is reigning grace. Grace that does not take no for an answer. Grace that saves, not grace that makes salvation available, but that saves. Even so might grace reign through righteousness. This is righteous grace. You see, the gospel is a thing of righteousness. It reveals the righteousness of God, His righteous character. It reveals His righteousness in condemning, but it also reveals His righteousness in salvation, how He's made a way to be just and justify the ungodly. Oh, He's able to make all grace abound toward you. Listen to this scripture. Jude 24. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling. Now, if He doesn't keep you from falling, you will fall. And you will fall away if He doesn't keep you from falling away. That goes from anything from just not going to church anymore to becoming a monster in iniquity. Unto Him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you, He's able to do this, to present you faultless before His presence with exceeding joy. Now what a thought. He's able to keep me from falling, to cause me to persevere all the way to the end, and to present me faultless, without fault, without sin. You know, I'm not afraid of Judgment Day. And let me tell you why I'm not afraid of Judgment Day, because I don't have any sins to be judged for. Christ put them away, and He gave me His righteousness, and I am without fault before God. Now, and that's only through His ability. I realize that. That is only through His ability. He's able to do that. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is able to do that for you? That He is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before His throne? We read in Colossians 1:22 that He will present every believer holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the very sight of God. I believe He can do that for me. I believe in His ability. This is not about what I believe about myself. This is about what I believe concerning Him. And Paul goes on to say, now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He Himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee nay. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for His grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. Now, unto Him that's able to do exceedingly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, every believer has the mighty power of God working in him. And this is more power than was used to create the world. Paul called it the power that raised Christ from the dead. That's the power working in a believer. You see, if you're a believer, God has birthed you into His kingdom. He's made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you're a believer, it's the result of the power of God. If you have faith, it's the gift of His power. If you have repentance, if you persevere, it's because of His mighty power. Oh, nobody really understands just how much power it took to save them. It took omnipotence. And it takes omnipotence to keep you. This is not talking about some power in your life where you start saying, look at me, I've got this victory over sin, I've got that victory over sin. I'm talking about an infinitely greater power than that. I'm talking about the power of God in Christ Jesus, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now, He says in verse 21, after talking about His ability to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or even think, now He says, unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout ages, world without end. Amen. Now maybe you remember at the first of this message, I said there is an inseparable connection between His ability and Him getting all the glory. There's an inseparable connection between his ability, his omnipotence, and him getting all the glory. There's a hymn I love. The third verse says, "Holy, holy, holy, though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power and love and purity." Now, men can't see his glory. I realize that. But there is a group that can see his glory, the church. The church. "Unto him be glory in the church." To every member of the church, this is all important. Him getting the glory. Psalm 29, verse 11, is his, "In his temple doth everyone speak of his glory." Now, here is why the glory of God is so important to every believer. Number one, because all glory goes to God. He deserves all the glory. He did it all. Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He did it all. Salvation's of the Lord. He gets all the glory. He does it all. I'm not saved partly by what Christ did and partly by what I do. I'm saved wholly by what he did. Hebrews 1:3 says, "When he by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Father." He did it by himself, with no help from me, with no help from you. All of salvation, he bears all the glory of salvation. Now, we give him the glory because he deserves all the glory, but let me give you another reason why we want him to have all the glory. If any glory goes to man, that means some aspect of salvation is by man's works. And if that's the case, I'm in trouble. I'm toast. I can't bear that burden of well, you get just a little bit of glory. That means there's a little something I've got to do in order to save myself. And if that's the case, I'm in trouble and you're in trouble. But no, in this thing of salvation, he gets all the glory. "Unto him be glory in the church." Now, what is the church? It's not what most people would describe it, who may even be church members. The church means a called out assembly. If you're a church member, and I'm talking about a member of the true church, I'm not talking about a member of this church or that local church, but I'm talking about the general assembly and church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. That's the role I want to be on. That the Lamb's Book of Life, written in the Lamb's Book of Life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, this church is a called out assembly. He called every member to himself. "We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, Christ the wisdom of God. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called." 2 Timothy 1:9, "He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which were given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." And this call is the call of the gospel. How do I know if he's called me? Well, you'll call on him if he's called you. You'll believe the gospel. I love that scripture. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you're called, that means you'll call. You'll call on his name to save you. And his name represents all of his attributes. His holiness, his righteousness, his power, his wisdom. When you call on his name, you're calling on everything he is to save you. Now, the church is the bride of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33 demonstrates that the church is his bride, his precious bride. What a privilege to be the bride of Christ. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having wrought spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." That's what he did on Calvary's tree to make his bride beautiful. And he says to his bride, "Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee." What a privilege to be in the bride of Christ. It's His purchased possession. Acts 20:28, feed the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. If you're in the church, He purchased you with His own blood. You've been bought with a price. You belong to Him. Ephesians 1:22-23 says the church is His body. It's His body. And that's why when Christ said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these my brethren, you've done it to me. That was literal. Because I'm so united to Christ, every believer is so united to Christ, that we are His body. We're called His temple. Now, listen real carefully. I'm glad you're watching this TV program. But if you could go to a church and hear the gospel, it would be much more important than this, because that's where the Lord promises His presence. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them. Public worship. You know, people talk, well, I don't have time. This is all I have time to do. You better make time to go to public worship. This is where the Lord speaks to His people. This is where the Lord meets with His people. I hope you'll come to worship, public worship, at the Todd's Road Grace Church. You'll hear the gospel preached. You'll hear Christ exalted. And Christ still walks among the seven golden candlesticks. And coming to hear the gospel, gathering with God's people, is so important. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, most things that go on under the name of churches, I wouldn't go to them. I mean, they're circuses, they're entertainment centers, they're places to get supposedly make your life better and all that kind of stuff, and it's just wrong. It's just wrong. Most institutions that call themselves churches, they're not really churches. They're human tradition, human religion, but there is a church, the church. And a church is anywhere where the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God's grace, is preached. And in the church, this is what's so special about the church, the true church, His body, His bride, His people. Unto Him be glory in the church. Here are the people who give Him all the glory. Every one in His church. In His temple doth everyone speak of His glory. Now, I'd like to invite you to services at the Todd's Road Grace Church. And we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nybert praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.